I don't hear.
They prepared excerpts for the lesson about each will help his friend on the topic of Arvut. Maybe that could also work.
You want to follow the excerpts? Different excerpts, right. Afternoon. Okay. I see. All right. The letter too? Now you want to read the letter? Read it slowly. So the question was, again...
Question was, what does Haman from the Torah were from? Imply from that verse, have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? Have you eaten, in Hebrew is Hamin, which is spelled like Haman. Okay, just, he said that the question was, where do we find in the Torah that the Creator will summon a messenger to reform a person against his will, as was with Haman? And as it's written, I will place over you a king such as Haman, and you will repent against your will. This is what our sages showed about the verse, have you eaten from the tree, etc. For then the evil inclination, the angel of death, was created, forcing the man to engage in Torah. As it is written, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. Since if one is not to engage in Torah, the evil inclination will put him to death. It follows that the disclosure of the sin of the tree of knowledge that puts to death, explained in the words, from the tree, etc., is the messenger that compels a person to reform against his will. This is similar to, I will place over you a king such as Haman, and you will repent against your will.
Is that clear or not? Gershon. Not really. Let's say now some kind of trouble comes to you. Thank God. Why is that, thank God? Because that's pushing you to search, what am I going to do in order to get rid of it? Eventually, where are the friends? Where is the study? Where are the verses? Something that I can get stronger with, right? Meaning you need to kiss the stick, right? The evil inclination that takes, that reforms you, that brings you back to good. Is that clear? To who is this not clear, except for you? Okay. Who else doesn't understand this connection? You didn't get it yet? Okay, you'll soon get it. No problem. Go on. Give it to him.
He's writing here something totally different. What I'm reading...
Let's say what I said. So he writes it incorrectly. But I said it correctly.
No, it's clear what you said.
It's clear.
I don't see the connection to the text.
I'm asking about what I said.
Right.
So don't confuse me. Hold on. Okay, don't worry. You'll ask later on. So what did I say? Repeat it, please.
You said that the fear compels a person to reform.
Right. Is that okay? Who doesn't feel that? Yuda, you don't feel it?
Typically, fear is forcing a person to escape it, not to reform necessarily. Not necessarily reforming a person. What? More exertion? What? What is such a thing?
Well, that too. You're right. There are two options here. If there are troubles that come, then a person can escape the entire path, right? And it's possible that if troubles come and problems come, then a person gets stronger in the path out of lack of choice. It depends on what stage he is along the way. If he is a beginner, then it's possible that he wants to escape and he can escape. If he is already advanced, that it's become clear to him that he needs to go like this, like that, then he stays and he continues. And then the fear, it aims him, it directs him to work with his fear that there is none else besides him. The fear pushes him to adhesion to the Creator. More? Yes.
Yeah, let's say that it aims a person towards there's nothing besides him. But there are certain operative steps I have to take. I feel a dialogue with the Creator.
Of course it is. You do whatever you want with the mind of this world. Do whatever you need. But you need to be adhered to there is nothing besides him. One doesn't contradict the other. If you have something to do on the corporeal level, do it. But on the spiritual, you must. Because treating the corporeal level, if you're given something to do, it enters the spiritual care.
We also learned that the thoughts are also, there's nothing besides them. Everything comes from men.
Right.
So if a thought comes to me from nonce besides him, I scrutinize it. I feel like I need to perform a certain action, and I'm unifying everything to this nonce besides him. Do I have to realize it?
So you need to do it. Let's say some kind of trouble comes to you. Let's say an illness. So I need to both tie it to the Creator, to there is none else besides him, there is no other source, and go to the doctor, pay to a good, experienced doctor, and he needs to treat it. Remember that letter, right? What is it, 17? 16. Letter 16, Baal Sulam. Of course it is. Same with everything else. I must do that. But I constantly hold there is none else besides him. And if I can, then I treat it on the corporeal level. And there are some issues that can't be dealt with on the corporeal level, so you don't. But of course, the most important correction is there is none else besides him. That's the main correction.
Pregunta de Esteban Brown.
A question from Esteban Brown,
el miedo que siento from Costa Rica. Separarme de los amigos del grupo. Esto es egoísta. Y aunque sea egoísta,
the fear that I feel that what separates me from the friends is egoistic, but in spite of it, can I connect with the friends?
What fear are you talking about? I don't understand. What fear are you talking about?
The question is about the fear of separation from the friends.
Yes. So, of course you need to work also on there is none else besides him, that you got it from the Creator. And also you need to work on connecting with the friends corporeally. Yes. Very good. Very nice example. Go on, Shamirchik. Good morning. You just woke up now?
No.
Rav, my question is that the whole festival of Purim, you know, the whole time we are studying about Haman and Mordecai, and we are talking about Haman on the outside, external Haman. But the fact is that I feel Haman on the inside. And not only on the festival, every day a new Haman is
revealed. Why isn't it a festival? Why not? Well, a holiday, a festival. It is, of course it is. When the evil inclination is revealed, when it becomes clear what to do with it and how it threatens and it shakes us to do something, it is a festival, it is a holiday. It is.
And this Haman is the only force which gives so much inspiration. so much boost. And in this Haman, I feel the sensation of the Creator also.
Right.
This Haman is the only force which every time I come in the lesson, it gives this fire. It gives this this power to influence the friends more.
Very good.
So yes. My question is that how do I use this Haman to annul myself in the ten, to pray to the Creator, to have this strong prayer? How?
Man is revealed in two forms. It's simple, as usual. Everything is revealed in two forms. On the one hand, it can pull you ahead, forward. On the other hand, it can stop you. Or, you know, in two such forms. Either it's revealed as a high mountain, or it's giving you this energy from within. Every time it's different, and we need to accept everything from there is none else besides Him, and then we won't have any confusion. Then you won't have no holiday or festival, you'll have a carnival. Really, you need to, first of all, you're aiming yourself to there is none else besides Him. And then you scrutinize why it's been sent, to scrutinize, to stop you, etc. But it's always help against Him in everything. From the Creator, no evil can come. All of our work is to see behind this evil goodness. That's all, that's it. That's the style of our work, to be complete righteous. To justify in everything. So, all the best. Good luck. Yes, give him the mic over there.
With respect to that tiny black point you spoke about, the fear and anxiety that brings a person to discover that he's a black point, and there's nothing, there's no forward, there's no back, everything disappears. What is that moment that a person feels he's such a tiny point, black point, there's nothing? What should he do?
Enter the womb, which is the group. Nothing else to do. That's it. Or hide me under your wing. Doesn't matter how you want to call it, but hide within the group.
How? The tiny black point. A person discovers he's a tiny black point. He's got nothing. Not this eye, not nothing.
There you should include yourself. That's it. I don't want anything. I come to the lessons. I listen to what they're talking about. I'm like a baby. I have no mouth. I have nothing. I'm only with them together. As much as possible. On the phone, in meetings, in lessons. It doesn't matter what. I come and sit down, and that is an example of Mordechai. He's sitting there quietly. He's sitting at the king's gate, and whatever happens, happens. What I'm capable of doing, just that. That's an example that we need to do. We have that example in every single step. We need to penetrate it.
There are many things in the seminar, in the workshop. The question is about the desire. A person only has a desire, this Haman, that he needs to add to the group. The question is with respect to the intention, this desire. A person himself shapes the intention. Because the view of this will be incorrect, but or is this the desire, the intent that shapes the intention, the desire?
It's a nice question. How do I reach the correct intention upon the desires that are revealed in me? Do I myself format, stabilize the intention, or does the intention? Is it stabilized in my work in the ten? Did you all hear? That's the question. Everyone think about it. They asked a very good question. How do I process the intention? Do I do it myself or through the ten, and how?
No, Rav said to think about it, so we're thinking about it.
You talk, and then we'll have to give an answer.
How does it work? Okay, a 10 can shape the intention for you, and ultimately the intention, comes out of a person.
There is an intention that a person goes to work in the 10 with, and that's additional connection to eventually lead to prayer to the Creator. But it happens by being included in the friend's desires, meaning the influence of the friend. A person's desires, intentions change according to the friends, to the extent he includes himself in them. The more he includes in them, the more it becomes aimed to the Creator.
First of all, to scrutinize, a person can't have the correct intention. You're always under the rule of the will to receive until end of correction. So every moment to be under the restriction and annulment towards society.
Just like the friend said, it's a bit hard to separate it. Because at the beginning, a person needs to do work himself. Because he himself can't do the work. He needs to be included in the group so that it will influence him. So it turns out that a person needs this burning that we spoke about in the lesson. The group helps him sort it out.
A work in the 10, drawing the light, it helps us to arrange the intention. In the context.
Through the work of connection between us, the light shines and the light stabilizes our intention.
Out of investment in the 10, friends become important to me, a concern develops that with time becomes more important than the concern for my own self. And then we have two forms that are working here, and the importance of the Creator is the one that needs to decide.
In a man, there are always two forces, bestowal and the point in the heart, and between the two you need to build a middle line.
A person has to come with his will to receive into the group, into the 10, and let the 10 lead this horse, ride the horse, place him in the right place.
It's not me stabilizing the intention, it's stabilized from the work in the 10.
I come with an intention which is a result of the work of connection with my friends and the influence of the light on me. And from the friends you can receive direction where to go, but ultimately you're the one who clothes the intention.
Also now in the workshop, each and every one of us has the opportunity to be formatted by the 10. That in the beginning, there's like this direction. Does he want to be connected to the friends or not? And accordingly, the 10, with a light that works, stabilizes this formatted state.
And this is man's independence, to receive it as an awakening from the upper force and turn to the group for help.
What can we add about what the friend said? That more and more desires are revealed in me, and I need to take these desires, but I need to do them. I need to decide that I bring these desires into the group. I need to decide that I place myself in that environment, and that I'm willing, upon the greatness of the goal, the greatness of the friends, to lead me, to format me, but I need to do this action. And all the rest the group does to me.
I can only discern what's revealed in me, what appears in me, but everything else happens as a result of the influence of outside elements on me, the 10, the light.
The light does everything. We need to put ourselves under conditions that it will stabilize and change our intentions.
We have no intentions, whether there's my desire and the tense desire. And in the mixing of the two and how we're working and to determine what's more important, my desire or the tense desire, we stabilize that vector called the intention. And these vectors that we stabilize as a 10, we can build a vector towards the upper one.
The most correct thing to do is to enter a state of Arvut, into the circle of Arvut. That is the safest.
A person cannot trust himself in any way, shape, or form, but specifically because of that, he needs to give to the 10, allow the 10 to work. He has to place himself in it, to insert his effort, his fear, his drive, everything we have to put into this thing called the 10. And then, in the connection of all the yearnings and all the fears, in the 10, it becomes this force that starts to work on all the friends. Nothing to add.
Rav. Okay, let's do a different exercise. Let's imagine the world that has no upper force. There is no creator. Completely, absolutely nothing. How do we, what do we feel in our mind, in our heart, when there is no such thing? Only the corporeal nature. That's it. Talk about it. To what form does this take us in? Into? How do we see life? In general. Go ahead. From there is none else besides him to there is just none. There is no. The creator is dead, like who said that? Nietzsche. Go ahead.
I don't understand the essence of the question. Oh, that's life. 99% of the time there's no creator. Simply what you experience in life, this is the answer to the question.
It's a feeling of death. Without stabilizing, if we erase this from our reality, I don't know how you can continue this. It disappears. It's like you turn off the computer.
I think if it will appear to a person this way, then it enters perfection and it will be end of correction of sorts. Feel nature, everything is clear. No deficiencies. Total perfection, wholeness.
I don't know if I really get the question, but if there is no creator and people just live in a reality, then we also lived in this reality. We lived this way when you didn't have the creator. You thought the world just lives this way before you were told and explained that there is none else besides him. That's how you were. And there are many people who live this way. There is no creator. There's no providence. There's no purpose. The purpose is to fulfill the will to receive as much as possible. And we see where this leads to. We see what happens in the world. Animals. Pattern of nature. Just like all this jungle that there is outside. That's it.
I actually agree with Rui, with Aleph, for Yakoka. Most of the time, we live. I mean, it's hard, easy to imagine it, but okay, at least there's a creator. Great, applause. But you don't, at least not me, I don't live in such a sensation that there is a creator. Most of the time, not even a thought about it. So that's how life looks, the way it looks now. There's no creator.
So if there is none, Rav, if there is none, how does our ego, our will to receive, that's revealed more and more, this man in us, how does that awaken us? to reveal the upper force. All in all, we're evolving from a will to receive that's becoming more and more. How does that bring us to connection or to the necessity to connect? Go ahead.
It's actually very clear how things work. There's a will to receive, that all it wants is to receive and to enjoy. And as soon as it feels bad, it doesn't enjoy, it suffers. And that Haman will take you to the Creator, so you will not suffer, so you will enjoy. And from that same place is making you introduce into reality the idea that there's a certain force that's doing it to you and all those other things.
I don't really get what is this, there is no creator? What you say there is, but there isn't, or there just isn't? Haman just brings suffering to man. The question is, why am I alive?
On the animate degree of development, there's no preparation for it. There's no creator. It's nature. This degree is in wholeness. And the Creator awakens the lesson in wholeness. And he forces people to reach the wholeness from their side, to build it from lines.
I also don't really get it. If there is no Creator, then the will to receive is just... it grows into... I don't really get it. And what does it grow into? Who grows it? It just grows itself. The will to receive grows because at the end it needs to attain all of the Creator. But if there is no Creator, then why doesn't the will to receive grow in animals? They don't have the Creator.
Rav, how? By developing through food, sex, family, money, and our knowledge, we come to such blows that we cannot answer except through an upper force. After going through all those desires, including atheism and all sorts of confusions, when we decided there's no creator one time, then we went deeper into nature, we saw there is some connection there, we moved away from the creator that we established as a certain idol, as pictures, statues, and so on. And now that we're going to knowledge, from knowledge we don't think of that. We think of this global force, an upper force that governs everything, because we learn from nature that this is an entirely different form. How nevertheless, we come to the search from the troubles, of course. So the search is an answer in response to the troubles, and the reason is a higher force. So how do we search for it? How do we relate to it? What should it be? Please. I can repeat Rav's words, very clear, and I identify with them. I didn't understand the question so much, but this thing that the suffering in life push a person forward until he tries to understand what's happening here, what the hell is going on. He's starting to look for the reason of things, behind things, and that makes him look for a creator in life. That's what we call the meaning of life. What's the meaning of life? That question. Again, we see it, that what's pushing us, it's all a matter of consciousness. What does it mean, there is a creator or there is not? It's there all the time. The question is, am I aware of it? So the hardships in life direct a person there, to that right search. There is a will to receive that develops according to food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, that those are his fulfillments. Once he achieves all those fulfillments, he wants a fulfillment that's above, beyond. And that fulfillment of beyond is the Creator. So they start to bring in problems and troubles. And the way to fill himself is by ascribing everything to the Creator, so that a thing calms down the Creator, fills his desire. That there's something here that gives me all these problems, but you're still stuck in reception. So I'm stuck in this question. It's not clear to me how the quality of bestowal is connected to this whole story, if ultimately only receive, but in a different way. Humanity develops with these desires in order to be included of these desires. We're just a soul that's shattered into many pieces. And in this process, we come to the conclusion that in these vessels, in the will to receive, we cannot receive pleasure. And we need to understand, what do we do with this desire? And so a feeling develops in a person that it has to be outside of his will to receive. That's the first thing. And if it's outside his will to receive, how can this will to receive even have a role? And that's why in the end, you come to love thy friend as yourself. That's a solution that holds all of this together. Otherwise, there's no way to reconcile it. Well, a person cannot go back. But if he tasted something from a higher degree, he will not be satisfied with a lower degree. He has to rise above it or kill himself. He left him. Great choice. In the end, you know, when there's troubles, a man starts to move, because all the fulfillment and development, if a person feels the advantage in it and the fulfillment in money, honor, knowledge, if it would fill a person, there would be no evolution. Specifically because there is pain, because problems come and he feels things don't touch him, from here the next development has to come. The desire has to undergo another qualitative change, and that's the appearance of the point in the heart that's already searching for the Creator. Rav. Okay. Maybe the last exercise for today. How are we arranging this whole process of Purim? Haman, Mordechai, Achashverosh, Esther, the horse, of course, and Zeresh, his wife, his counselor, advisors, his sons, who else? The Jews, the nations of the world. Oh, the Jews are divided into Shoshan, Madai, and Paras, and chamberlains. Vashti. No, Achashverosh's wife, Vashti. A tree 50 cubits high. The ears come later. They're not ears, actually, those are pockets. Ears are not, it's an incorrect. Ebiktan and Teresh. The horse, we said. They worry about the horse. No, who else? What are those additional personages? Personalities. The 10 sons of Haman, I said already. The scroll itself, okay.
Pachegen
Aktav, yeah. Those books and letters, the first round and the second round, that was added to the king's letter. The rock that Mordechai is sitting on, King's Gate, Artaxerxes. Okay, more. The feast, yes. In short, all of this is in a person. Okay, is that correct? So zoom out, it's all in a person. Say, where is it in a person? All of it? How is everything connected to everything? Let's go. Let's see you.
Mordechai is,
please make a nice story out of it. Everyone is talking in the tent. You know, just collect all the information together.
Mordechai is the will to bestow, and Haman is the will to receive.
The horse is the direction. The direction that is taking us. And Esther is Malchut. The scroll of Esther and concealment.
All of these are states revealed in the ten when we want to move on towards additional connection between us. It all connects from the Creator to man's work in the ten upon all the states that are revealed, the aravut between us, to the extent that we're concerned with one another, and what disturbs us to reveal this, and if we're able to ascribe everything to there is none else besides him.
If you're looking at the group and you see that it's like a nation, like the Jew that don't care anything about the state, he's satisfied with a little bit with Torah and Mitzvot, maybe blows. Then he thinks that he hears there's Mordechai that he hears about, that you have to go above reason and advance. We're missing Haman. Haman has not revealed yet.
And then come the troubles and lack of fulfillment, and a person is forced to turn to the group, to the Creator, and that's Mordechai sitting at the king's gate. If it depended on him, he would sit there all day.
Rav, don't talk about Mordechai and Esther and all those things. Speak about internal discernments inside a person. Or when you say a certain name, together with that, give it the spiritual term.
The person is in his feeling that he wants the Creator. That he wants the Creator, he's sitting in the king's gate. And the still, until the blows come, they start moving him.
A person does as much as he can to connect the ten. And Haman is that more than that he cannot do. Rather, the Creator sends a state on top of which he has to integrate the friends. He has to go and integrate in their desires. That's the new state. That's the state that's beyond the working connection, but the working integration. And with them to come to a state of degree of connection. It's not just end of correction.
That's how the Creator is described in the story of the Megillah. That's nice. If a man comes and tells you something, then if the will to receive comes and tells something, then he creates this. If Esther comes, then that's how he creates that image. It's nice to see how the story describes this inner discernment. In the ten, in a person, it's revealed, it's built.
Creator is the king in the story, Achashverosh. And ultimately, what does he want? He wants the Jews to be connected. So, at first, they are separate. Haman says they are separate. Who are they?
Who are the separated Jews?
All of men's desires. They want to ascribe reality to the Creator to some extent. They are called Jews. And all those who don't want it, they are not Jews. And as much as we can listen and go according to Mordechai and not identify with Haman, go with the intention of to bestow, then you can ascribe reality to the Creator.
The Yehudim, the Jews, in a man are these simple desires. You want to do something without thinking twice, maybe even purposeless. And Mordechai is that point in the heart in man that keeps on awakening and awakens everything, and it connects to the upper force. Haman is already from the envy, from the honor to want to attain something in spite of others. Who else was there?
I also want to add to Haman those forces. Haman becomes the star of the show. It's the desire in man who enters the center of the group and he drives everyone crazy. He gets up, he says l'chaim, he invites everyone to his place for a gathering of friends, and he does all those actions. That's the engine of this entire business. Without Haman, there would be none of those things. It's an engine. He makes a congress, he invites worldly broadcasts on TV. It's all in order to grow this vessel. On top of the story, he's certain he's going to get a horse from the Creator and ride it throughout the city. All this thing will be really in his favor. It's amazing. He moves the entire business here. And then a person comes to the recognition that it comes to threaten the most important thing in life for which he came here. That's the desire to attain the Creator, to be together.
I very inspired, and I really, when we read the Megillah, instead of making noise when Haman's name was mentioned, like I applauded. And when the story begins, she says something and then about Vashti, and then she disappears. That's also nice for our life, whatever there was, and then moving on to the next. What's the Pachegen? Pachegen is easy.
It's a letter where it's written for you how to reveal the Creator. It's like the lesson that we receive every day. I'm saying, seriously, from this entire process of Purim, you receive such greatness of Haman. It's not clear what's up. If he's moving you and everything is so nice and good, why do you even get to recognition of evil? Have to sever from you, or you kill it? I don't know all those things that we do to him. If it ends up being the force that moves them. You have to think also what to do with the sons that are hanged, and Creator is there.
Rav, what happens with Vashti? She's kicked away, she's killed. What? How can a husband do that to his wife? So what if she, you know, did her bit? Right? So how can he do that to her? And what did he do? Is it clear or is it unclear? Well, what is Vashti? And why does he remove her? Why doesn't she listen to him? And in what exactly does she not listen? Why does he remove her? Who is instead of her? What, Esther? Esther was there before as well. He has as many as he needs there. So what are all these things? Because it's a very important role. Achashverosh is a desire. And the king and the queen. Go ahead.
All the women in the story are the vessel in which you can hold the, you can contain the greatness of the Creator. Instead, vessel cannot be used to contain the greatness of the Creator because it's not moving towards connection, towards greater connection. Then it wants to receive it for itself. Then Haman is revealed and he wants to take advantage even of Esther later. Meaning, the thing here is our tendency to connection through the greatness of the Creator. If we're not accelerating, we fall into the will to receive in order to receive.
From this whole thing, the most important thing is what a person makes an example out of the will to receive of what it should not be. An example for myself and for others. So to the extent in my will to receive, that it's used, it shouldn't be an example to others.
Vashti is the previous degree of man, and we went up a degree in the sense that the vessel grew, the will to receive grew. Everything that is not advancing in adhesion to the Creator, it's simply ejected, it becomes irrelevant. So what is Vashti? The Creator threw her out. The will to receive that was filled to the limit, and now cannot serve us any longer in our advancement forward. It's not in that stream of adhesion anymore. There's no need for it. Simply,
the women are the malchut, the malchuyot, and the whole story is to enslave the malchut to the king, right? That the malchut, the greatness and importance of the quality of bestowal, it restricts itself, and everything else we learn. Now Vashti doesn't want to. The king invites her, and she doesn't want to come to the feast he's having. That's it. She doesn't want to come. She doesn't seem as important or as great. A new degree begins.
Vashti.
Vashti. She is the Malchut before you enter into this entire process of Purim. It must be the man's ability to ascribe everything to the Creator even before he enters it on the level of the collective that you have to ascribe to it, that you have to go into the level of the work of the collective. There's, we get to Esther. Maybe before that is Vashti.
It's a move. Just like the Creator grows the will to receive, that grows Haman, you need to see what is the next degree that can connect in the ten, around what. So on the one hand you have this, on the other hand there has to be a new degree of connection.
It's probably more work in the desires, not in the intentions and the actions, I think. To the extent the person appreciates the rule of bestowal compared to the rule of reception. It's a matter of control.
I'm going to go on an intuitive long shot. There's the feast of Ahasuerus and there's the feast of Vashti. It's not the same feast. The second, the king wants to invite this Malchut to join.
The main actor in this whole tale is the people, not Vashti or Mordechai or Haman, but the people. Haman doesn't want to harm Mordechai, he wants to harm the people of Israel. And the end of the scroll, again, the people of Israel, they wage war, they win. Is it true to see the main hero here as the people? And what is the people inside of us?
Yeah, but we don't see that he's doing something here, only all of these desires in man. They are managed through these heroes, Haman, Ahasuerus, the king, Vashti, Esther, and so on and so forth.
But it looks like the whole story is done for the people. The people awaken all that.
That's true. The king eventually needs to, yeah, he needs to be revealed to the people. You're right, to the nation. Yes.
From our discussion, the real hero appeared as Ahasuerus. He is doing all the concealments. He's summoning the feast. He knows Vashti will not come. He chooses a new desire, which is a concealment. Esther. He tells a man, lets a man do what he wants, and as if he didn't know what he's doing. The king is the one who is leading all the moves, and he lets the desire say what he wants to do. He doesn't tell it what to do. He asks Haman, what will you do to the men the king delights, wishes to delight, and then he does it to Mordechai. He does everything, but behind the scenes. That's a true concealment.
Okay, I don't know. Esther here is doing things that are, you don't see that she's activated by the king. But had she had not walked around in the courtyard until he invited her in to ask her what's happening, why is she sad? Then also the story would have gone in a different direction, seemingly. If we delve even deeper and deeper into it, the most important thing, of course, this year we aren't going to get into the, you know, any additional depth, but we already understand that here, from, you can learn about all of creation from its beginning until its end. Yes.
With us, what came up is that the interesting game is that Esther grew up in the house of Mordechai. The concealment was done by Mordechai. Mordechai raised the concealment inside of him so he would later be able to work.
Right, and he passed it on to the Malchut, to the king's palace. Although Esther herself is Malchut, right?
Why did Vashti not go with the king?
Why
didn't she refuse? She refused to come to the king. Why did she refuse to come to him?
It's a question. It is a question. Although she is a queen, but you see that she refuses to the king. Does her refusal, is it aimed on her behalf in order to make room for Esther? There's another more internal layer to this story. None of these heroes is, none of them are one-dimensional. Well, we won't be able to. I can see already what we'll have next year, please God. All right. So now we have Akoka. Who's leading this? In 10 more minutes.
Ma.
What? It's you? You're giving the update? Go and ask questions. Go on. Meanwhile, you can come. You want to sit there? Sit there.
Question. I understood from the lesson today that we have to determine that there's none besides him on top of all the disturbances.
All the disturbances are revealed, both individually and generally, to the Kabbalists. I'm talking about Kabbalists. In order to determine that there is none else besides him, that is who sent it, and they reach a state that they kiss the disturbance because it connects them to the Creator. And there is no other way that a person will come closer to the Creator, because he's the egoist, if not through disturbances, if not through fear. Now, fear, we spoke about fear. That is the first commandment, right? Remember that from the Zohar? The first commandment. Fear is fear. We're talking not about awe. We're talking about corporeal fear. From that, you reach spiritual fear called yirah, awe. Maybe you can differentiate it that way. That a person is fearful not from corporeal matters, but from detaching from the Creator, being detached from the Creator. So that, and if he connects to the Creator, is he doing that to give contentment to himself or to the Creator? Is he doing that to have confidence or quiet or peacefulness? Or is he doing it in order to give contentment to the Creator? And then the more disturbances that are revealed, the happier he is about it.
That's the question. How is it that from a person that's completely controlled by the Creator, Creator passes all the thoughts and fears and everything, suddenly that person gets up and triumphs over the Creator in the terms that there is none besides him in order to give him contentment? How can I do it if I'm completely run by him?
You're not completely governed. The problem is that you forgot that from the will to receive, of course, you can be forced to do anything. But after you learn, after a few times through blows that you're awakened, you, through these blows, connect to the Creator, and from that, you begin to be in contact with the Creator through these blows. And you learn a little from the Creator, and that's considered that you draw the light that reforms. And you want to connect to the Creator even before the blows. I awaken the dawn. I accelerate time. And that is how you advance.
But they say that my right of choice is in the environment, not in the last besides them.
Fine, the realization is something else. I told you about the steps, the stages on the way. First, through blows, you reach there is none else besides him. Then you want to reach it even without blows. And then without blows, you discover that the environment is actually that same passion in which you reveal the Creator that you want to reach. But not through blows. Through blows, you reach, you don't need an environment. Through blows, any person, all of humanity is gradually advancing that way, is moving forward towards revelation of the Creator. But if you want to attain it yourself, you need a society. If you want to attain it yourself, then Israel, the Torah, and the Creator. Then you're called Yashar Kel, straight to the Creator. That's something else. If people are just searching for the Creator to feel good, that's not Yashar Kel. That's not Israel. That's just everyone and anyone. That they're escaping the blows. Only if we are searching ourselves to wanting to be in there is none else besides him, whether feel good or feel bad, I want to be in him, then I need an environment so that in that environment I can stabilize such conditions that I attain him and I'm adhered to him. That's why this is the Arvut, this is everything. The question is correct. No, guys, where is he? Go on.
Okay. Rav, for many years, you're aiming us at engaging a great deal in our content, especially the content of the morning lesson, the importance of the lesson and the content that is passed through it, and to disseminate it online. And lately, in the last week, you placed a great deal of emphasis on it. I wanted to ask you first, or maybe have you clarified a little bit, why do you see the importance for us to engage in this content beyond the hours of the lesson and to do something with it? Rav, first of all, the fact that you disseminate the content, it might be good. Additionally, we should disseminate the content that we're learning about, let's say Purim, as much as possible, as wide as possible. And the problem is, I spoke also here, I don't see him, Did he leave already? The guy from Moscow. From Russia.
Max, if you can hear us in the lesson, please come down.
Oh, he's doing something up there. He also spoke about, we talked about it yesterday. The thing is that we need to be recognized, known in the general internet. And the problem there is that you can, right now, if you disseminate our things online, they typically hit the same people. So it turns out that each one seemingly disseminates, but it reaches the same B'nai Baruch people all over the world. And so, therefore, it's not that great. Whereas we have to learn how to disseminate it to people that do not belong to us completely, the general public. How to do it, I don't know, but that's what I wanted. That's what was my intention. To disseminate the material for beginners, material on holidays, materials on anti-Semitism is very important to us. That's what I'm concerned about. Because, of course, we have to come out to the circles, but as it was, you know, in the past, you know, newspapers and all that, today it's the internet, so we have to know. We have Marcus, sits next to you specifically, who is also an expert on that. If you need it, even, you know, we can invite external experts. The important thing is for us to be recognized in the world, known, and it's possible.
So the goal, like you said, is to spread our materials as much as we can in the net, on the net, so that our messages will reach.
But they should reach not people inside our own circles. If people look for it according to, you know, search words, that it goes from one person to his neighbor, and even when we disseminate in different places. So we have to know how to do this. It goes beyond.
What we wanted to ask is, in order to reach that, we need to build ourselves. We as an organization, in order to disseminate the things correctly. Come here, Rex. So that the messages will also be messages that people can comprehend, can understand. I would like to ask, we see you, an example, like as an example. Every day you write dozens of tweets.
I don't know, maybe it'll pass soon. Depends on the topics that we're going through. But now, it was a certain period where I saw that it's good. I also don't know if it's good. I never asked you. Maybe, does it help to be integrated with the material, to understand it somehow? I don't know. Who's reading these tweets? Okay, let's say maybe about half of the people here. And who feels like the real benefit from them? You see? Maybe 20%. I don't know. What else to do? I think that in those tweets, I provide in a very succinct way. I'm restricted there. I give little things. I'm not giving the essence. I'm actually doing it I simply say it in small pieces, one after the other. But I see in it a good form of expression. Are you using it or not? I see that not so much. If you want an example from me, then I'll give an example. I'm not stopping, even if you are not using it at all. This feedback tells me nothing, really. And I recommend you do the same.
So, just about that, we take an example from you. Is there an importance for your students to go out of the lesson, meaning after the lesson, and write something, whether or not someone reads it, even?
I even said, don't write. Take those tweets, even without Lightman or anything, just as they are, and spread them in other networks, and just as they are. That's it.
Okay, so about that, what we wanted to share also is what we summarized with Moshe.
You can write there. You can put a link to our website from there. That's the best thing.
Usually it comes with a link.
Link to whom?
What if I...
If I'm... I'm not talking about the connection to me. I don't know, it's possible. If he's sending, redirecting people to our main website, then it's good.
In Hebrew, it's Kapsirael. English, Kabbalah.info.
I want to reach even people who don't know anything. What do you mean, those who know? I don't care about people who know.
No, I meant those of us who can direct to the site. Also, what I wanted to update is starting from next week, what we agreed with Moshe is that we'll start at the end of every lesson, we'll dedicate 10 minutes to writing the lesson summary. We'll sit at 5:30, this will be done. We'll sit in our tents and we'll summarize the lesson. Each one will write a summary. It can be a sentence, a few sentences, something that focuses the core messages from the lesson, because we want to get used to working with the content we get from you on a daily basis to start processing it so we can disseminate it that same day.
Okay.
So we wanted to share this, that this is happening from the upcoming week. You want to add to this?
Let him talk a little, maybe. He has thoughts about dissemination, I'm not sure what. He tried to tell me about it. I am not so knowledgeable in it. I didn't understand it, but it sounds logical and maybe beneficial. So let him explain it. But no, you have 5 minutes.
It's hard to explain in 5 minutes. It's a very broad question that requires scrutiny. I would like to maybe explain what's happening in Russia, in Ukraine.
You have people from all over the world here. What good will it do to them? They're not going to go there. If you can explain in a few minutes what you recommend for our dissemination.
So, in that case, I'm not prepared to speak now. Better that I'll listen in the meanwhile. In general, the main message is that we'll start doing these summaries, that we'll start getting into this habit to develop that the ability to start writing, and we'll just get it into a habit, and we'll also use the envy of the environment, of the group, and also that all of us will learn how to sign up to Rav's Twitter. We know it's not clear to everyone. It's actually very beneficial. It's the direct channel from Rav that every moment during the day you can get a notification immediately. The second Rav wrote it, the second he pressed send, it comes to your phone directly. Even if it comes in Russian, it also comes translated, that you can just kind of Google translate it, but you still at least get the impression of what Rav wrote that same moment. So we'll give everyone these tools to understand how to use this, and we'll start getting into the habit.
live not alone.
So whoever wants to get more into, you know, on a professional level, then you can reach out to us and we'll put you onto these teams. We have what, 7 minutes left, all right? So like Marcus said, I'll just add, we'll give you the tools of how to sign up to Twitter. We're also creating a video, a simple tutorial showing you how to get notifications every time there's a new tweet. Roy added an emphasis. At 5:30, when we're going to sit down and write, what are we going to leave with? The goal is each one writes to himself the lesson summary. It couldn't be a paragraph, two paragraphs, whatever he got from the lesson, and that he wants to release to the world. Could be a few paragraphs, it could be a sentence, like on Twitter, it's 280 characters. So a condensed sentence, but not something like generic, like let's connect or something. It has to be a sentence that conveys a certain message. Now, after that action, after we sit down together and write, each one will write his summary, then you can either immediately publish it in your personal Facebook, etc. Even in the WhatsApp 10, to set an example and importance of doing the effort, etc. And if not, that same moment, then throughout the day I can think about how to spread it. Most important is that I came with a summary, I came out of a summary of the lesson, which is the work of me and the 10, and that's what I come out of the lesson with. Are there any questions?
I didn't understand how it solves the problem of breaking outside of our own circle. The fact that everyone is writing, it's great.
It's a good question. Like we spoke about and like we understood, in order to spread a message that the audience is able to comprehend and understand, we need to break through this writing barrier. We need to get used to publishing something every day. Like Rav says, you know, he doesn't look at the number of views. So as a beginning foundation, it's not that important. First of all, most important thing is to deal with it. It's to work, engage in it, immerse in it. Then we want to get that into the process, that we get used to publishing things from the lesson. And it's also fine to publish it, because not only you don't only have BB there, you might also have your grandma, your neighbor, etc. And it's also all right, because if they too will get used to reading from you different interesting things throughout a period of time, they will be your target audience as a friend in the organization to invite them to different events of ours, to introductory events like we have now, to unity events, to congresses. These will be the same people that you'll build around you, and it will gradually be built. We'll teach later on how to break through to new audiences.
I'm passing the mic, but I feel that Rav's address was specifically on that. How do we break through? You could take material, take Rav's tweet and spread it, but that's the question. How do we break that out of that circle? I don't feel we answer that.
We have thousands of students. How many of them are going to be able to write? 2.5. If we'll teach thousands of our students how to break out, how to take interesting material, then we'll disseminate. People outside consume interesting material. No matter how much I'll be able to write, it won't interest anyone. People are interested in clips, things like that. We need to build a system that will also qualify also the women, not just 2.5 men in this hall, but that will qualify all the groups in Israel, all of the people, how to grow their Facebook, how to take interesting things. We need to produce interesting things, not articles. No one cares about articles. No one reads articles. People consume clips. We need to produce interesting clips and know where to put them and to disseminate. You want to teach people to write as well? That's fine. It's not related to dissemination. Until people will learn how to write, they'll forget. People will forget who we are.
I want to share a small idea that I'm doing lately to reach people who are not our friends. I'm looking for places of correspondence, a forum usually when there's some argument on a certain topic, doesn't matter which, with external people, and I go, I introduce my message, our message about the role of the people of Israel, and you see the level of the conversation change completely, and then you break into new destinations. That could be the idea of finding new addresses. Daily task, Guadalajara.
Gracias, Rab. Gracias, amigos, por esta gran clase.
Thank you, Rab. Thank you, friends, for this wonderful lesson. A huge hug from Guadalajara. A hug of love. Our daily task is every tent helps every friend to stay locked on the Creator above all the images of this world in order to strengthen the connection between us and to lock on to there is none else besides Him. Again.
La 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 la